Turn, if you would, to Psalm 73. Psalm 73 tells the story of Asaph, who was offended by the prosperity of the wicked. Asaph said, "I'm suffering. My life is hard. Terrible things are happening to me. But I look at the wicked, and their lives are great. And the more they sin, the better off they are. How is this right? How can God let such a thing happen?" And he says, "When I considered how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image." So that's the first part, the negative solution. The wicked will not prosper forever. Their prosperity is very, very temporary. But the positive part of the solution continues. Asaph says, "Thus was my heart grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord Yahweh, that I may declare all your works." Let's pray. Father, help us not to be vexed as we try to understand this problem of the prosperity of the wicked. Give us the grace to say with Asaph, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing upon earth that I desire besides you." Lord, give us the grace to have you and to desire you. And in having you, to be satisfied, to know that in having Christ, we have everything. We pray that you would help me to speak boldly. Help us all to listen and to love Jesus more because of his all-sufficiency, in which we pray. Amen. So the positive solution to Asaph's problem, he says, is that, "God, I am with you. I'm always with you." The wicked may appear to prosper in worldly terms, to have more money, more power, more fun than I do. But they don't have God. "I'm with you, even though," he says, "my flesh and my heart fail. My body isn't working like it should. I can't use my hands, my feet, my eyes don't focus," right? When he says my flesh fails, he could be referring to any and every part of his body. Bad ticker, my heart doesn't pump very well. All kinds of things are going wrong with Asaph. But he says, in the end, it doesn't matter whether my heart and flesh fail, because God is the strength of my heart. So he says, "I'm with you all the time. You hold me by the hand." God is that father, that parent who reaches down, takes our hand, and leads us through the wilderness of this world. And he does it continually. Asaph doesn't say, "Every once in a while, you take my hand and help me across a difficult spot." He says, "You continually hold my hand, and I am with you. You will guide me with your counsel." How does the Lord do that? Well, he tells us in his word. He says, "Here's my counsel. You want to know what to do? I'll tell you what to do.
honor your father and mother. Don't steal. Don't commit adultery. Tell the truth. He gives us His counsel. He guides us with His counsel. And at the end of our lives, He receives us into heaven. So Asaph says, regardless of what I don't have in this life, regardless of what the wicked are doing, I have everything. I have Christ. And so he launches into this, whom have I in heaven but you? Right? Certain people will tell you, oh yeah, I go on a cruise ship, but I go for the food. Right? The ship could just sit in port the whole time. I wouldn't care. I'm at the buffet. Or people will tell you, I go for the this, I go for the that. What is Asaph wanting to go to heaven for? It's not for the glory. It's not for the gold. It's not for the angels. It's not to see his grandma. He says, the only thing in heaven that I desire is you, Father. And in fact, that's also true about earth. The only thing on earth that I want is you. Now, it seems like earlier in the psalm, he wanted to be prosperous like the wicked. He wanted the wicked to suffer. But as he grows to this place of spiritual maturity, he's able to say, I don't live for food. I don't live for clothing. I don't live for a boyfriend, a girlfriend. I don't just want my health back. I don't live to be young. I live for God. That's all I need. My one earthly desire. There is nothing upon earth that I desire besides you. Now, does that mean that Asaph stopped eating, that he stopped drinking water, that he stopped breathing air, that he didn't need anything? No, that's not what he means. Saying in terms of ultimate satisfaction, the thing to live for, Lucy, go to mommy. No, go to mommy. The thing to live for, he's saying, is the Lord. Nothing less, right? I don't live for peanut butter sandwiches. I don't live for orange juice. I don't live for the buffet on the cruise ship. What I need is God. How did he get there? Well, it's clear from the psalm that it took a long time, that he didn't wake up in the morning and say, all right, Jesus is all I need. I can let goods and kindred go, this mortal life also. It says clear that he thought about this, he wondered, he struggled for a very long time before he came out the other side and said, my flesh and my heart fail. Maybe he could no longer walk. Maybe he could no longer feed himself. Right? Maybe he could no longer see. He doesn't say what part of his flesh was failing, but he doesn't say, and therefore, I have nothing to live for. No, he says, God is the strength of my heart. God is my portion forever. Not just for a few weeks or for a few years. God will satisfy me forever. He reminds his readers then, those who are far from God will perish. He destroys them, those who run away from him. But it is good for me to draw near to God. And when he says it's good for me, he's not saying it the way we say vitamin C is good for me. This will be a small boost that will help me out a little bit. He's saying this is my ultimate, final good. The summum bonum, for those Latin scholars out there. This is the thing. The nearness of God, that's what I live for. You and I are going to walk this same road that Asaph walked. Especially when somebody close to us does something evil and we see that they apparently are not punished for that. It's so easy, like him, to say, I don't get it. God, what's going on? But through that experience, Asaph says, I learned to put my trust in God. I learned that I don't need anything else. I don't even need my flesh and my heart. If I have Jesus, I have enough. So it's good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord. Asaph walked by faith. God, I trust you. Right? Before he was asking, how can the wicked do this? And now he's saying, I trust you. I don't spend my life worrying about what the wicked are getting away with. I spend my life in your presence that I may declare all your works, which he did in this psalm. To tell us, here's what God is like. God is the one that is with us forever and that is the complete satisfaction of everything we could desire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through your Son, you are with us. You hold us by our right hands. You will receive us to glory. Lord, purge from us these overwhelming desires for earthly things. And help us to live exclusively for one thing, to be near to you, to desire you more than anything, than everything else put together. We pray these things in the name of your all-sufficient Son. Amen.